Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We are talking about the Tanakh today from the book of Ecclesiastes. In Hebrew, we call it Kohelet, the words of the Lord through Shlomo, Solomon, the king of Israel, to the nation of Israel, in which he gave them instruction as to how to live their life here on earth, especially, beloved brothers and sisters, in a world that is full of vanity, full of sins. As we begin in the study of the book of Ecclesiastes, Shlomo, the king of Israel, says, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" That's how the book of Ecclesiastes begin. But today we are studying in the 11th chapter. We are drawing near towards the end of the book of Kohelet. And it is so interesting what Solomon has to say to Israel in those 10 verses of chapter 11. So please follow me as I'm reading these 10 verses of Kohelet chapter 11. So Shlomo, the king of Israel, is saying to his people of old Israel, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the trees fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones to grow in a womb of her that is with a child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, delight is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that come is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." And I'm stopping here. And brothers and sisters, as Shlomo HaMelech, the king of Israel, is now, you might say, leading towards the conclusion of the writing that he had given, or the messages that he had given to the people of Israel, he is now speaking about many things that are very practical in the life of God's people. It was practical in the life of Israel historically, and it ought to be practical in the life of us who are believers in this present day age, the assembly, the congregation. And these things are needful in every generation. You remember in the previous chapter, in chapter 10, he's emphasizing the foolishness and the harms that foolishness produce here in this world. But on the other hand, wisdom is really being productive. It is very profitable for mankind. Sometimes we as believers act foolishly here in this world, and it doesn't help anybody. There's no profit in this. So that's why he says foolishness harms, but wisdom is profitable. And God's people, Israel, God's people, the body of Messiah, need to walk wisely, to walk carefully in order that we will be profitable here in this world. But now he's moving along, and in this 11th chapter, he's really emphasizing how to live our life here in this world that is filled with vanity. You know, brothers and sisters, that's how the book began, and that's how the book will end. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, says the preacher. In Hebrew, hevel havalim, hakol hu hevel, amar Kohelet. Kohelet said that everything is vanity here in this world. Since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, sin entered into this world. The world is now, you might say, occupied by a population that reject God, deny the Bible, reject the Messiah, and therefore sins and self-will is existing here in this world. Under the sun, Tachat HaShemesh, he's not speaking about heaven, he's speaking about here on earth as we are here under the sun. And here under the sun, there are problems, there are conflicts, there are wickedness and sins and all sort of things that are existing here in this world. Well, we are part of this world, but we are saved, we are forgiven, just like Israel. Israel was chosen to be a separated nation unto God, and they needed to live for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as you and I need to live for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who sent the Son, the Messiah, Yeshua, to this world. So we need those instructions. And in this 11th chapter, Shlomo is again using Proverbs. Remember that we read in 1 Kings 4, verse 29 to 34, that he wrote 3,000 Proverbs, Meshalim. And he wrote more than 1,000 songs, Shirim. And out of those, he brings out these Proverbs, these Meshalim, to teach us spiritual truths in our life today. So he's very practical. And he began, by the way, in this 11th chapter, how to live our life here in this world that is filled with vanity. He gives us 4 points in this 11th chapter. First of all, in verses 1, 2, and 3, Shlomo is saying to Israel that every one of the nation of Israel, and you and I can apply it to the church, to the body of Messiah, everyone that believes in Yeshua the Messiah need to seek to be a generous giver. You know, it is amazing, if you remember in Exodus, God have asked the people of Israel to bring some of the gold and the silver that they have had. And all what they have brought, he had to say to them, enough. Don't bring any more, because they brought so much that he didn't need any more to build the tabernacle that is in the wilderness at that time. Later on in Jerusalem, when King Solomon built the temple, they also, the nation of Israel, have brought so much in order to build the temple in the city of Jerusalem. And so God desired from the people of God to be generous towards himself, but not only generous towards himself, but also generous towards others in the world in which we live in. And so you notice what he said, seek to be generous giver. He began by saying to them in verse 1, notice that he says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Why to cast thy bread upon the waters? He says at the end of verse 1, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, what does he mean by that? Cast thy bread upon the waters, and then after many days you are going to find it. This is like a proverb. It's a message to say, listen, bread, it speaks of that which is needful. In the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Dvarim in Hebrew, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. In other words, bread is needful for the physical need, and the word of God is needful for the spiritual need. And so you know what Shlomo is saying to Israel? Israel, you know what? Kes, the Hebrew word there for kes is shlach, send it. Send your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, he says, be gracious in your seeking to help people and spreading what the Lord have entrusted unto you in order to assist people that may have a need. Send it upon the waters. By the way, the word for waters, maim in Hebrew, water, is often found in the scripture a representation of the nations of the world. People, nations, population of the world are represented by the word waters. Turn to Revelation for a moment, please, with me. Chapter 17. Here is what the Lord is saying through his angels to Yohanan, the apostle. He said to him in verse 15, he saith unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits, namely the false church, he said, these are peoples and multitude and nations and tongues. The waters represent the nations of the world. You know, sometimes we say, I'm going overseas, over waters. Why? Because the divisions on earth between one nation and another nation is the sea, is the waters. And it represents the nations. Now, what King Shlomo says to Israel, he says, listen, send the bread. You never know what's going to happen. You shall find it after many days. In other words, don't be in such an extent that you don't share what the Lord had given to you. You don't spread the word of God, which is also represented by the bread. Make sure that you spread it around, that you cast it upon the water, because you never know what's going to happen. Later on, when there is a need that arises in your life, you will see how the Lord will bless you and will return the graciousness that you have expressed by spreading, by sending the bread upon the water. In Hebrew, it's so beautiful. It says, Shalach lachmecha al pnei hamayim. Send your own bread upon the face of the waters, because you shall find it after many days. And you know, beloved brothers and sisters, how needful it is, not only the physical needs, the people need help in various situations. The Lord's work need to be supported by the people of God. The gospel need to be spread around. How is it going to be done? It's no hocus pocus. It's not happening just like that. It needs an effort of the people of God in order to be able to spread the word of God. And when the word of God is spread to the peoples of the world, in due time you receive. You will find that after many days, somehow the Lord will use the word and will use your kindness and your graciousness in giving and supporting and helping, so others will benefit from this. So important to realize what Shlomo is saying to Israel. So send it. You never know what's going to happen. I know one thing, that you heard the message of the gospel once by somebody who shared the word of God with a person. Later on, many years ago, the Holy Spirit of God took the very same message that you have shared, and he convicted that person and bring that person to the knowledge of the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. Same thing with a gracious, a kindness that you have helped somebody who needed, or you supported some ministry, you did something for the Lord's work, and then later on, how much fruit going to come out of the graciousness of the people of God. So Israel, Shlomo is saying, send thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. God promised, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that for which I have sent it, Isaiah said to Israel in Isaiah chapter 55. But he continued because he's encouraging Israel to seek to be a gracious givers to the nation of Israel. And he's saying to them now in verse 2, he says, give a portion. Notice that verse 2. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now use those two numbers. 7, Sheva in Hebrew, and 8, Shmone in Hebrew. In other words, the word 7 in the scripture is oftentimes represent full number, completeness. And the full number represent the fact that you seek to meet needs around you. Don't forget that God had provided for you. Don't neglect to have your responsibility. So give a portion to 7, but yet not only to 7, even go a cut above. Go even, as it says here, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil shall be upon the earth. You do not know what's happening, what's going to happen in a future day. Maybe one day you will have that need. Maybe one day you will be situated in your life in such a way that you will say, boy, Lord, I have a certain problems in my life and please help me. And you might need that your need will be met in certain time in your life. And so Shlomo is saying, you make sure that you don't neglect to give and to support and to make sure that you don't neglect to have your responsibility. 7, and not only 7, but even to 8, for you do not know what evil will come. You know, God is able to remove from us that which he have given to us previously. How many people can testify to that? That God have given us so much, but I was not gracious in giving. I was not seeking to be a gracious giver. And God removed from me what I've had. And how many have testified to this? And yet what a blessing those that have been gracious enough in not only giving portion to 7, but also to 8. In other words, going above what is even needful in order to meet the need of the people of God and the problems that rise around us. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 for a moment. I want you to see what Shaul, Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4, and verse 15, Shaul Paul wrote to the Philippians, remember he was in prison, and the Philippian brethren have supported the missionary, this Shaul Paul, and he said to them, now ye Philippians, Philippians 4:15, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no assembly communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. And then he said, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, not because I desire a gift, he said to them, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, he said, and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. Can you imagine? The brethren in Philippi sent to the Apostle Paul some things for his needs through Epaphroditus, and for him it became like a sweet smell and a sacrifice that was acceptable and well-pleasing with God. You see, faith in God is not merely a religion, it's a relationship. And therefore, even before the Messiah Yeshua was born, under the law, the nation of Israel were instructed through Shlomo, the king of Israel, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall befall upon the earth. You never know what's going to happen in the future. One day your turn will be. And you will need to be the one who will need the help or the support and whatever problems you might have. Make sure that you are not neglecting to seek to be a gracious giver. And now in verse 3, Solomon points to nature. He looks at nature and he makes an application to the situation or to the statement that he just said. And so in verse 3 he says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, it's so interesting. You know, he's remarkable in the way in which he presents things. Now, you and I looking at the clouds, we see the clouds are dark. They are filled with water. What do you think? They're going to keep it there? No, Shlomo is saying. He says, really, act the way the clouds will act. If the Lord had blessed you so much, and the Lord had been gracious towards you, he's saying to Israel, don't neglect to pour out so others can be blessed as well. That's like the cloud. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty. It is natural for them to empty themselves upon the earth. So the cycle will continue. The evaporation of the water will come up. They will be filled again and they will pour again. They will be filled again and they will pour again. You see, he says, really, look at it in a natural way. Even the clouds can teach us a spiritual lesson. Even the nature that God has provided for us here on earth teaches us a great lesson. And you know, when our people of old Israel came to the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, before they even enter into the land, God said to our people of old Israel, he says, if you will obey me, if you will submit to my authority, I promise you that I will send rain upon the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. It represents blessing, showers of blessing. And he's saying, Israel, don't forget. Obey my words in order that the blessings will flow upon the land. But when you don't obey, then what happened? The rain is not descending. God shut the cloud. He stopped them from pouring, from giving rain on the land of Israel, because the way Israel reacted is the way God had poured upon the nation, the people of Israel, the blessing. So he told them this in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy. You make sure that you obey my word in order for the showers of blessing to come, the early rain and the latter rain. And if you know Israel, those of us that were born and raised in Israel know very well that if there is no rain in the land of Israel, we're in big trouble. Today, if you're going to go to the Sea of Galilee, it's over 5 meters below the right place where it should be, because there was not enough rain in the last couple of years. Even today, they are speaking about the danger of what's going to happen when there is not enough rain. We are depending upon the rivers. We are depending upon the Kinneret, the Sea of Galilee. We are depending upon the rain that comes from heaven. No rain, no food, no bread. So Israel is dependent upon the blessings of God. And what about us? Spiritually speaking, if we are going to be spiritually blessed by the Lord also desires us to respond, to learn from the clouds. But also, beloved brothers and sisters, realize, notice that what he says in the same verse 3, verse 3b of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he says, not only look at the clouds who will pour the rain when they are full upon the land, upon the earth, but even if a tree fall towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Here's another lesson. Now, a tree that is falling down the south or the north represents the location where we are. We cannot meet every need in the world, obviously. But there are local needs. We have family needs. We have congregational needs. We have work needs. We have all sort of needs that surround us. He says, wherever you fall, in the north or the south, it will stay there. You fix your faithfulness and your commitment there, because it is going to stay there. In other words, you learn even from the natural way, when a tree falling and so on, there you need to look around and see the situation that's existing there and meet the need right there and then. So act like the clouds and realize like the tree who fall down. Where are you located that you can meet the need? Where the tree fell, there he stays. There is the responsibility that one has in their life. Now, amazing how Shlomo can take a proverb such as this. A tree falling, fall there. Here's the application. The clouds are full with water, pouring rain. Here's the second application. He's very practical. He's using natural things. He's using the things that are by nature. We can see them as they are. And he applied them spiritually to his people, the people of Israel. And we can learn, beloved brothers and sisters, from these lessons. Let me just read one more verse that is found in Mark chapter 16 in connection with giving and spreading. Look what Yeshua said in Mark chapter 16. Yeshua said in verse 15, this is before his ascension, he said, and I'm reading, go into all the world, represented by the waters here, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and be baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. And what we learn here, that when Yeshua left this scene back to heaven, he says, spread God's word. Spread the bread upon the waters. You never know what's going to happen. There are some who will believe and accept the Lord and some who will reject the message. But you make sure to be faithful. Both spiritually give the word and practically help people with need. Support the things that need to be supported. Don't neglect it, because if you are going to be a blessing and live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, you need to seek to be a gracious giver. Verses 1, 2, and 3.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.